very good Friday. Welcome to this edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Coming up in the show here today, we'll bring you feature agricultural news reports, and then we'll check in with national and regional agricultural news headlines as well. And we get started with regional agricultural news right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
California cantaloupe farmers are overjoyed with the amount of rainfall received this winter and for welcome relief to severe drought conditions that have impacted growing areas for the past several years. Although rainfall was heavy throughout the winter, cantaloupe producing districts have not experienced flooding that has impacted other parts of the state. Additionally, California cantaloupe fields have not yet been planted at the time of the state's heaviest rainfall. California cantaloupe growers are reporting that wet fields and rainy weather definitely delayed planting, particularly in the southern growing districts of the Imperial Valley. This means that promotable volume of cantaloupe from California will likely not be available until Memorial Day weekend, with peak supplies expected throughout the month of June. Cantaloupe plantings in major San Joaquin Valley growing regions were also slightly impacted by wet fields, but this is not expected to significantly delay harvest of cantaloupe on the west side of California, which should peak in mid-July, as it normally does. In short, they know the beginning of California cantaloupe season will be approximately 2 weeks later than normal this year, that according to Garrett Patrecchio of Westside Produce in Fireball. He says, importantly, they want to remind everyone the California Cantaloupe Advisory Board operates a robust mandatory food safety program that involves government audits of all cantaloupe farmers, packing facilities, and cold storage operations. He serves as chairman of the CCAB. He noted that California cantaloupe growers have invested heavily in food safety research for over 20 years, and the industry has adopted growing systems that keep irrigation water from coming into contact with cantaloupes in the field. The California dairy sector is on a mission to innovate how manure is recycled, boosting water quality outcomes and soil health. An initial roadmap has been drawn, several projects are already underway, and millions of additional public and private investments will soon support the adoption of more advanced manure management practices on California dairy farms. Dairy manure is a valuable resource, however many dairies have more manure than they can use to grow their crops. This surplus creates both a challenge and an opportunity that the dairy sector is working to address. The California Department of Food and Agriculture convened a Manure Recycling and Innovative Products Task Force, a collaboration of farmers, academia, and public partners. The task force's report suggests concrete steps to guide innovation and advancement. The task force has succeeded in developing recommendations for strategies to capture and enhance the value of dairy manure, that according to CDFA Secretary Karen Ross in the foreword of the project. The value highlighted by these strategies include building healthy soils and sequestering carbon, offsetting industrial fertilizer use, protecting water and air quality, and reducing agriculture's carbon footprint in California. These benefits impact not just farmers, but the state, our consumers, and our environment. The report outlines a comprehensive game plan to explore how conventional strategies and cutting-edge or emerging technologies all can be tapped into as solutions. The task force will continue to meet this year and into the future to discuss progress and identify more ways to innovate. The California dairy farms supply liquid or solid manure nutrients to forage fields. One goal is to develop pathways for these nutrients to be transformed into valuable products such as soil amendments that can be used to nourish other crops across California's rich agricultural landscape. As Forbes recently described it, one strategy is in motion to send the worms. Vermifiltration was first demonstrated on a dairy in 2014 and has been demonstrated on another dairy in Washington State. Essentially, these farms use worm beds to filter liquid manure effluent. The worm absorbs water and the bacteria in their guts convert the nitrogen into nitrogen gas, which is a harmless gas that makes up about 78% of the atmosphere. Worm castings and decomposed wood chips from the beds offer potential value as fertilizer and soil amendments as well. Another method being explored is the use of an algae raceway system. The system has been piloted on a California dairy where it works in conjunction with a digester to both reduce methane, remove nitrogen, and purify remaining water. Like with Verima filtration, algae raceways show great promise for improving water quality outcomes. Nitrogen capture systems represent a particularly innovative type of dairy manure management. Evaporative systems can provide environmental benefits and create pathogen-free solid and liquid fractions, which can be marketed as fertilizers. The system has been implemented on a few dairies in other states. An evaporative liquid manure processing project is in the works and coming to a California dairy soon. These efforts to advance manure management are about to get a big boost. The California Dairy Research Foundation and the CDFA, along with Dairy Cares and other industry partners, have been awarded up to $85 million by the Department of Agriculture under the Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities program. The funding will leverage additional matching state funds and private capital investments for a total of more than $300 million in new investments. Incentive funds provided through the Dairy Plus program to be administered by CDFA will bring more full-scale projects to California dairies, reducing methane and improving groundwater protection. The practices will be measured and monitored by university researchers to quantify emission reductions and improved water quality outcomes. A hepatitis A outbreak traced to frozen organic strawberries continues, as do public health warnings about the implicated products. Although the outbreak is progressing slowly with 9 patients across 3 states now, public health officials are concerned that consumers may continue to face a threat. The Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are concerned that consumers may have recalled strawberries in their homes because of their long shelf life, which reaches into late 2024. Based on epidemiological data collected by CDC, all 9 confirmed patients reported eating frozen organic strawberries before becoming ill. There are likely unidentified infected people because some will not realize they have contracted the virus and others may not yet have symptoms. It can take up to 50 days after exposure for symptoms to develop. In response to this investigation, California Splendor Incorporated of San Diego has recalled certain lots of 4-pound bags of Kirkland Signature frozen organic whole strawberries that were sold at Costco stores in Los Angeles and Hawaii and 2 San Diego business centers. The strawberries in question have been found to have been imported by a common supplier from certain farms located in Baja California, Mexico. Over the past 4 decades, California Giant Berry Farms has established itself as a name synonymous with quality. The company was originally founded in 1983 and was founded with a simple mission in mind, that is to provide the best quality strawberries and give back to their community. Working under the name of New West Fruit Corporation and packaging the brand's cornerstone product, strawberries, with a California Giant label, their vision was to keep growing the company and become a major shipper, which is exactly what happened over the past 40 years. Many of California Giant Berry Farmers as partners have a multi-generational history with the company that extends decades, while nearly 40% of its staff have been with the company for at least 10 years. California Giant Berry Farms works with retailers, food service, and consumers alike, and provides an all-season supply of sustainably grown blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, and blackberries. Students at Stockton School recently learned about the farming that is happening in their own backyard and how it gets to the table. It was the Great Valley School's 19th annual Agriculture Education Day. This year's theme was Planting the Seeds of Knowledge. Organizers say the event focused on how the San Joaquin Valley and all of California contribute to the food chain. Students learned about fruits, vegetables, honey, and meat. Farms produce fruit, anything like that within California. They're teaching them to appreciate what we have here and where food comes from. That according to 4th grade teacher Jeannie Pacheco. Next year, organizers plan to have a big bash for the 20th anniversary of the event. The California Prune Board has announced its support for the UK government's decision to suspend the UK import tariff on dried prunes. Effective from January 1st of 2023, the suspension sees the removal of the 8% tariff until at least December 31st of 2024. The decision gives UK dried fruit importers greater choice and is likely to be welcomed by importers looking for a premium quality and great tasting product. California offers high quality, naturally sweet prunes, and the state makes the U.S. the world's largest premium producer. Industry sources say removing the tariff will give the sector a level playing field and UK trade access to premium, greater tasting prunes that will appeal to consumers. California Wine Festival, Southern California's premier wine festival event producer, announces its return to the Park Hyatt Aviara Resort for 2 days of palm tree line tasting events on Friday, June 23rd and Saturday, June 24th. Guests will be able to try samples from renowned winemaking regions across California, paired with gourmet appetizers from many of North San Diego's top restaurants, in addition to experiencing lifestyle exhibitors, live entertainment, and stunning expansive vistas. The festival highlights rare and reserve vintages and well-known bottles from California's best-known vineyards based in Napa Valley, Sonoma County, Paso Robles, Santa Barbara, Temecula, and beyond. There will be several notable wineries that will attend. For information, log on to californiawinefestival.com.
The University of California Agriculture and Natural Resources has been awarded a $1 million UC Climate Action Innovation and Entrepreneurship Grant for its Vine Climate Smart Agri-Food Innovation Program. Gabe Yahtzee is the Chief Innovation Officer for UCANR, as well as the co-founder of the Vine Program. He shares more about how this program seeks to advance sustainable agriculture, food, and technology innovations.
The University of California, ANR, as we're called, has a 100-year history of helping farmers, food producers, and industry translate really deep science and technology subjects from the university into the hands of the public. The Vine takes that a different approach by really supporting the development of technology and entrepreneurship, whether that comes from the university in new machines, or biotechnologies, or software and digital solutions, and turns them into products, into startups in the marketplace. Or we also work with companies from California, US, and all over the world to test, validate, and ultimately accelerate these solutions into market to address pressing, you know, climate, food system, agricultural challenges in California and across the world.
The $1 million grant will enable the program to support even more entrepreneurs and innovators in developing climate-resilient solutions for the state's agriculture and food systems.
So we recently received a $1 million grant that was from the state of California, and that was to support innovation and entrepreneurship to really drive climate-based solutions into the marketplace. The approach that we're going to take is building on our Vine program to first support entrepreneurs in California and all over the world, just like we normally do, to help them make connections to grow those innovations in California. But we're going to go a little further than that, too. We're going to create a sort of an accelerator program called the Validation Innovation Program, VIP, that will actually look at specific problems or opportunities like dairy, regenerative agriculture, robotics for agriculture, or indoor farming, and identify the challenges and opportunities in those sectors, do a global scan for entrepreneurs, and actually create real on-the-ground projects that implement those technologies to demonstrate, validate, and ultimately help them grow and scale those solutions in the market. So it's a real tangible way to move from sort of ideas and early technologies into the marketplace. And then finally, we're going to support those innovations with seed funds. And so those projects and the people involved in supporting them will be eligible for funding to actually pay for the cost of doing that work. So it's going to be sort of a start to finish program to really get on the ground technologies in place and into the market.
The Vine program is currently working on several interesting and important projects with partners around the world. Yahtzee tells us more about the variety of projects the program supports.
A couple of fun projects that and important projects, we think. So we're we're working closely on some of these projects with our friends in the Netherlands, and so we have created programs. Examples: dairy in the dairy sector in California, the largest dairy sector in the United States. A lot of challenges with methane and nitrogen and dealing with things, you know, unpleasant topics like manure. So we're working right now on a project with some new biotechnological applications that actually both reduce the amount of methane in the crops, as well as provide a really a lot more effective and valuable liquid nitrogen that essentially becomes a fertilizer to replace chemical fertilizers using the manure. So we through this program and partnership with the Netherlands, we've actually identified a new technology that both reduces greenhouse gases and creates a valuable new product out of a waste stream for the dairy sector. On the robotic side, we're working with several different robotics harvesting companies, and labor is a real big challenge. And so as a way to reduce the labor demands, make harvesting jobs a lot less dangerous and better for farm workers, we're working on several different harvesting solutions for different California crops that will make it faster, more cost-effective, and safer for the workers involved.
The state of California is an important part of the United States agriculture and food industries, and the VINE program seeks to bolster these industries through supporting innovative, climate-smart agri-food technologies.
California is really vital to the food production capability in the United States as a whole. We produce, 400 different kinds of crops. And really, our ability to produce those here in California and in turn the United States is under threat because of climate change, drought, labor, a variety of different aspects. And we really think that this kind of program that really brings together the universities, the industry, the governments, the farmers, the food industry in real meaningful ways to introduce technology to address some of these challenges, it both allows for the continuation of farm and food production here in California and the broader U.S., but it also supports economic development through new technological jobs in our rural communities. So it allows for new inclusive economic development and innovation to happen. And it also supports climate change mitigation. So it really is a triple bottom line approach. And so we're really proud to be doing this work and excited that a broader set of California gets to participate in our innovation economy through VINE Agri-Food Tech Program.
This is Kylie Harlan reporting for My Ag Life.
It's no secret to anyone working in the equipment manufacturing industry, the ever-growing technician shortage is a problem poised to get a lot worse before it gets better. According to a 2020 report, the industry may need to fill as many as 73,500 heavy equipment technician positions by 2025. In addition, the report stated equipment manufacturing possesses a job opening rate 3 times higher than the national average. Among survey respondents, 95% agreed with the assertion that there was a skills gap in the industry, while 89% reported a shortage of workers within their companies. Julie Davis, AEM Senior Director of Workforce and Industry Initiatives, says equipment manufacturers can and should embrace and adopt a number of short-term and long-term strategies to set themselves up for sustained success as it relates to workforce development. AEM offers 4 tips to businesses for addressing the shortage: focus on retention, fill the talent pipeline, diversify and optimize recruitment strategies, and collaborate with others. After reaching recent highs in 2021 and 2022, the average net cash income of U.S. farm businesses is expected to decline by 18% in 2023 compared with 2022. Farm businesses across the country are forecast to see higher production expenses, lower cash receipts, and lower government payments in 2023, resulting in lower than expected average net cash farm income. However, this overall decline will vary considerably across the country. USDA's Economic Research Service uses resource regions to depict the geographic specialization and production of U.S. commodities. Farm businesses in the Northern Crescent region, which leads the nation in dairy production, are forecast to see the largest average percentage decrease, which is 30%, while those in the Mississippi portal, which leads the nation in rice production, are forecast to see the smallest percent decrease at 9%. Meanwhile, the fruitful rim will see an estimated 24% decline in average net cash income. A strong U.S. dollar is cutting into export sales of U.S. agricultural products. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford has the story.
USDA's most recent forecast for this fiscal year's ag exports calls for $184.5 billion worth of export sales. That would be down 6% from the year before. So where are we at the halfway point of this fiscal year?
Agricultural exports are $100.2 billion, down 1%.
But USDA economist Bart Kinner says again that was for the first 6 months of the trading year, October through March. And as the year has progressed, export numbers have regressed. Prime reason?
The strong U.S. dollar.
And so as the value of the dollar strengthens,
our products are not going to be as price competitive with other countries producing similar products.
Looking at corn, for example, U.S. exports of corn at the halfway point of the year running 31% below the same time a year ago at just under $6.5 billion. U.S. cotton exports down about 15%. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
American Farmland Trust has named Sam Smith as National Director of Land Use and Protection Research to develop and implement the organization's land use protection research agenda. Among his duties, Smith will lead the Land Use and Protection Research Initiative, which includes and builds upon the existing Farms Under Threat projects. He will also be a part of both AFT's internal virtual research team that discusses and prioritizes overall research needs and AFT's Farmland Protection Unit, which will work with Sam to help identify and prioritize research questions that could advance farmland protection and retention efforts and AFT's policy and program development. With an extensive agricultural background, Smith is skilled at evaluating and modeling land transformation impacts on human and natural systems.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.